every word of God is inspired. That inspired word of God, which comes to us today in our sermon text, comes from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. So when Jesus came, he found that he, that is, Lazarus, had been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." This is the word. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, dear fellow redeemed. A blessed post-Easter season to you all. Having said that, I'm going to ask an uncomfortable question that you would not expect to hear from this pulpit a week after Easter. Have you ever questioned God before? Have you ever doubted him? It is wrong, but it seems that people do this quite a bit, don't they? Things seem pretty clear to us humans. Things are black and white. They are right or wrong. And often we boldly wonder out loud, how could God let something so terrible happen? We all know this is a bad question to ask, but even Christians might sometimes find themselves wondering this. What can we answer our fellow Christian who asks us this? What can we answer ourselves? Well, we must understand what the context of such a statement usually is. Typically, you hear this type of a statement or question when there has been some sort of loss of life. Perhaps a natural disaster like an earthquake happened and someone lost their life in the earthquake. Someone would often wonder, how could God let something so bad happen? Perhaps a young person tragically loses their life. Someone would stop and say, how could God let something so bad happen? It just doesn't seem fair. Well, this questioning of God, we must understand, comes from our sinful natures, from our old Adam, and it comes from our logical minds. Isaiah 55 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." When these questions arise, when they come to mind, we need to admit a few things. Number one, we need to admit that God knows everything, and his ways are better and higher than our ways. Number two, we need to admit that we really don't know anything outside of what God has revealed to us in Scripture. Sure, we may know some few trivial facts about science or history, but when compared to the knowledge of God the Father, these facts are indeed trivial. What do we know from Scripture about God? 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, "God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." You see, it's through Scripture that we must base our facts. When we look at the Bible, we do not see a God who does not care. We do not see a God who is indifferent. But rather, when we look in the Bible, we see a God who loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us. When we look at Scripture, we see that Jesus is the Lord of life. And just as he gave Lazarus temporal life, even more so, he will give to all believers eternal life. We pray that the Holy Spirit will bless our study. What is the context of this sermon text? Let's read the first 6 verses of John 11. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he who you love is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Of course, this is Mary and Martha, who we know Jesus visited their house, and they served guests there and his followers there. And it is this family that we are told here that Jesus loves. He loves Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The last time he was at their house, it was Martha who was in the kitchen worrying about the little things, worrying about the externals, and Mary who was learning at the Savior's feet. Jesus said to her, "One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." It is their brother, Lazarus, who is sick. And Jesus intentionally waited, even though it tells us that Jesus loved these people. Well, why would God do this? Why would Jesus wait? Well, there goes our sinful natures again, questioning God. Lazarus, of course, was probably a very young man with lots of life left to be lived. Why would Jesus simply let him die? John 11, verse 11 through 15 explains this. "These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" Emotional man now would question such an unnecessary death, and yet Jesus reveals to his disciples and he reveals to us that there was indeed a higher purpose to this. When Jesus gets there, it seems like he is too late. Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days already. This is certainly a sad affair. And perhaps Mary and Martha are thinking to themselves those same type of thoughts. Why could Jesus not have come just a little bit sooner? Martha speaks up in verse 21. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha, who had previously worried about things in the kitchen, now voices her faith. If you notice here, she doesn't even really question Jesus. It's not really a question of how come you weren't here, or a why weren't you here, Jesus, or how could you possibly let this happen, Jesus. But rather, it's a plain fact. It's an if-then statement. Jesus, if you were here, then this would not have happened. Even though this personal tragedy had just occurred, she still had faith in her Lord. Verses 22 through 24. "But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Martha here shows her incredible faith with an incredible answer. Even through her tear and sorrow-filled eyes, she can still see that ultimate hope for her brother that he would rise again at the last day. Although in this specific case, he would rise a lot sooner than that. Well, how does the rest of the story go on? We have the shortest verse ever found in the Bible, Jesus wept, and that was over Lazarus, which would cause the onlookers to declare, "See how he loved him." And then what happened? Jesus did what is not done, what cannot be done. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Talk about questioning God, which humans do when they can't understand a tragedy. How about this miracle? The how could this have possibly have happened turned into the how could this possibly have happened? It happened because Jesus is the Lord of life, of course. If Jesus could raise Lazarus, what couldn't he do? No one else could have done what he did. This is not like TV. This is not like some brave, handsome doctor swooping into the ICU and doing chest compressions on a patient until he brings him back from the brink of death. No, we're talking about a corpse here. We're talking about 4 days without brain activity, 4 days without heartbeats. He had started to smell he had been dead for so long. This is not some primetime drama. Rather, this is a real-life situation where real life was given. This is real power. But also, of course, it was real temporary. It was incredible, of course. This is a miracle. It doesn't happen every day. You don't see someone rise from the dead every day. But Lazarus would die again. This event was extraordinary, and of course it was, but it is simply a foreshadowing, you see. It's just a mere glimpse into the power and the love of your Savior, Jesus Christ. 25-27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now that "who is to come into the world" is a Hebrew expression that people would say about the coming Messiah. And here he is standing right in front of her, Jesus. You know, it's said that there are two things that are certain in this life, in this world: death and taxes. Well, tax time is coming up, as I'm sure any accountant here would be able to tell you. But what about death time? When will your time of grace end? We, of course, cannot know. The Bible tells us that our time of grace will end like a thief coming in the night. But we can know three things for certain. Number one, you can certainly know that you will die, that is, unless Judgment Day happens first. Number two, when you die, you can be certain that it'll be according to God's good, gracious, and holy plan. And number three, you can be certain that you will rise again. Well, our minds, our sinful minds, would question this. How can we possibly know that we'll rise again? Well, we can know this because our Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He has swallowed up death in his victory, and remove the sting of death forever. How did he do this? He did this by coming to this world, by lowering himself to our form. He did this by living a perfect life, by not sinning not even once, and yet dying the death that we deserve. He did this by rising again on Easter Sunday, by defeating death forever. Talk about questioning God and questioning the resurrection. The real question is, how could God ever love people like us? But he did, and he does. And just as he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, so he also loves us as well. He says he will not leave us as orphans. Why would he leave us when he paid such a tremendous price for your soul? He will not leave us to decay on this destroyed earth. Death is said to be a certainty. As certain as you will die, even more certain, someday you will rise again. John 14:2-3 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus says that whoever lives and believes in him will never die. But I thought that death was a certainty. Well, yes, that death that Lazarus suffered, the death that Lazarus suffered twice, that death is certain. But those who believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, will never die. Sure, they will experience a separation of soul and body, but they will never experience a separation from God. Romans 8 tells us, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Why do bad things happen on this earth? Well, when sin entered the world, so did death alongside with it. Bad things happen in this sin-cursed earth. But for us believers, we do not need to sit around and wonder why they happen. We know that God has a plan for each and every one of you. That plan starts with Jesus Christ dying for you, and that plan ends with you rising again and being raised and living with Jesus in heaven. Jesus suffered, so we'll never have to. And just like he rose again, so also shall you. Do you believe this? You can answer alongside with Martha, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God." Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.